All right, welcome into another episode of That's
So Cincinnati.
Jason Williams, my pal, Sherry Coolidge, my other pal, executive producer Phil Didion. We're here. We're back again. We're in. We're rolling. You folks are amazed me and how you've embraced this podcast. So here we are again and ready for another exciting episode. Sherry, we have Steve McGowan, co-founder of Blink, on as our special guest today. Really looking forward to talking to him. There's exciting new things this year with Blink that involve the Roebling Suspension Bridge. It's going to Northern Kentucky, and he's going to be here to tell us all about Blink, which starts a week from tomorrow. As we as you listen to this podcast on Wednesday, it'll be a week and a day it starts, and it'll go all through the weekend. What else we got today, Sherry? We got let's before we jump to Steve. No, you're getting ready to say something.
I was thinking about a name change for the podcast.
Uh-oh.
I think we should call it the Hilltop Podcast. Do you think? It's the biggest thing that's been going on in politics. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot. And, you know, and I feel like we have to talk about it now. You had quite the column this week.
Oh, thank you.
Your kickoff column of the week.
Yeah, I...
What'd you do? You called for... emptying the swimming pool of the Joint Bank Steering Committee.
Yes, and for many of the listeners who maybe don't know what the Joint Bank Steering Committee is, it was founded in 2006, a 8-member committee of private citizens. Half are appointed by the city, half are appointed by the county. And it was a body to basically oversee the bank's development and to call the shots in the bank's development. Obviously, the electeds ultimately had the final vote on those projects. But the chair of that committee, and why I say maybe you've never heard of it, is because they rarely meet. Even though a lot of action is going on and a lot of taxpayer dollars are involved in the banks, we've spent a lot of time, reporting on and talking about and writing about and wringing hands about the streetcar. And when you think about the banks, the streetcar taxpayer money is really pennies compared to that. So
$1.3 billion is our riverfront development total, according to multiple presentations that I've seen in recent weeks.
Did you say $1.3 million or billion dollars?
I did not. Are you putting your pinky up to your mouth? A billion. It's a bill with a B.
$1.3 billion, wow, Sherry, in taxpayer money?
Yes.
That's state, local, and federal money.
And money it makes on itself that's where you put into the project, too.
And so there's been a lack of transparency a lot on this project, and part of it is this group hasn't met. They've met now. They're meeting this past Friday. It was their third meeting in 16 months in their 13-year history. They've had one chairman, and that's Red's owner, Bob Castellini. And there's a lot of concern about how Bob Castellini and the county's attorney, Tom Gableman, who are very close and go way back. They call it the Castellini and Gableman show, that there's a lot of people on the committee who feel like they've not had a voice. And so Charlie Lucan, a former mayor who is on that committee, was quoted in my column today as saying, everybody out of the pool, and that includes me too. And what he's saying is that we need all new 8 members and a fresh look. And I don't disagree with that either. I think the politicians either need to blow the whole thing up and move this thing back to, and part of it, Sherry, as you and I've talked, part of this committee was that basically it is the planning commission for the banks, essentially. The projects don't have to go through the city's planning commission, and that was designed to take politics out of the process. And
on paper, it looks brilliant.
It does. And you know, I've talked to folks who were in elected office back when it was started in, 13 years, mid to 2000s, and it did a lot of good things. It helped get the banks project going. But it's really morphed into the Reds, Gableman, and the Bengals basically sort of calling the shots in the banks. And that's, It gets really dicey there when you think about conflicts of interest with the Reds and Bengals stadiums, and you know.
I mean, the most stunning thing to me is I have a lot of questions about this board since I wasn't covering this when it was formed, and you know, mm-hmm. I made a simple request yesterday: can I see the bylaws? Yep. And I made this request, I think, to five people by the end of the day, and no one seems to be able to have them, give them to me. I've said that it was coming. It's like, where are they? They should be posted online, yep, at both the city and the county's website so people can read it for themselves and really look at who's on it and decide if that's who they want making decisions for the riverfront, if this is indeed going to be public money. And of course, that's where things are coming now. There's a lot of requests for public money related to what's going to be the next part of the development.
Correct, Sherry. You asked five people. I asked another three people, and none of those folks had them or said they were, you know, I will look into it and see if we can find them. And these are all people involved in this. So it makes me wonder, are there even bylaws that exist? And if there aren't, then that's a real concern.
I have documents. I save everything, as you know,
yes.
Fairly organized in drawers. I pull out some of these old things from when I covered the county, and the books and these giant, you know, books of planning documents refer to the bank's working group. And those documents refer to the idea that this is going to be formed as the Joint Bank Steering Committee. And that's kind of where we come to a pause.
Yes.
What are their term limits? You know, are there criteria of like for having a diverse board, right? So we see that in some of the things very current now, the idea of, you know, these, like, let's look at the sorta board, right? It has, yep, to have a bus rider on it. Like, what
it
about
has to have a member, a union representative on it.
So the idea of getting diverse points of view and, like, what's the plan there, and are we there?
That's a great question. I don't know. Are we? When you think about having a chair, only one chair person for the entire existence of the of this public, this is a public committee, a public body, even public and private bodies, you rarely see someone be the chairperson for that long. Usually these are 1 to 2 year terms, and then it rolls onto another leader. And I'll tell you, I had been kicking this around for a while now. There's been a lot of concerns about them not meeting, and yet, Sherry, here we are with this incredibly complex, I think you would agree with me, this is a very complex project. I know you've spent hours and hours and hours talking to many, many people. I've done the same, and between the two of us, we've put our heads together and said, wow, this is, I'm saying this, and you've been doing this much longer than I have. But this, when it comes to a government, economic development type of story, I don't know if there's been a more complex story to cover when you throw in the politics and the different stakeholders are involved, and the egos and the headbutting and the
whole
government and private
itself
sector
of what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely, and that too.
And then the regionalism of it, the idea that Northern Kentucky's developing their riverfront as well, and what they're doing over there.
Yeah. So there's something that needs to be done about the steering committee. It's going to be a tough thing to do. I think City Hall would, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Sherry, I think City Hall would be open to that discussion, to appointing new people from the city. The fact that the county commissioners are all on board with what's going on right now at the bank's plan around the music venue and the Bengals rework of their lease, I'm not so sure there's an appetite there for them to do anything, because that would require them going against Bob Castellini. That would require them basically telling Tom Gableman, the county's only ever attorney on the banks, to, you've got to step away from this, or your role is going to be diminished in this committee. And those are some tough conversations. But I mean, the way this thing is going right now, Sherry, as you and I have talked, like, this was originally envisioned as this livable, walkable, workable, just awesome, cool urban neighborhood. And
do you,
it's
feel
not that,
like that's what it is?
No.
I think Jason's made his, he's written about this before. I mean, where are we at, do you think?
Well, I call it in my column today a half-finished tourist trap with a bunch of surface parking that's benefiting the Reds and Bengals. That's maybe...
Did you have long dashes between all those words?
No, we're not supposed to do long dashes.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that's my columnist, you know, hard take on things.
You know, and you can offer your opinion.
There's certainly some good things down there. And, you know, and I've said that on this podcast and in my columns before. I love the Moorline Lager House, the Smale Riverfront Park in its iteration right
Both
now
is awesome.
Both of those
things done with outside the banks technically, even though they're down there.
That's right.
Like the Parks Department did Smale and the Parks Department did the Moorline Lager House.
That's right, they did. And, but...
I mean, I feel like, I mean... When you look at the facts of it, it definitely doesn't look or feel like those first designs we saw. And quite frankly, those first designs that we saw looked like Over the Rhine, which was also kind of, you know, at the very same time starting getting its start of what do we want this neighborhood to look like in the future.
The thing about Cher, you looked this up yesterday that when the city basically, what did they create? The Over the Rhine development plan, or I can't remember
community plan.
Yeah. Was in March of 2004, and you're talking about to me, and I'm no development expert, but when you're looking at an old neighborhood with old buildings, and you have to redevelop that, and the process of just multiple property owners and all the codes that go along with that, and zoning and everything. That's the south of Liberty Street phase is complete, and the north of it is going well now as well. And that's in what, 15 years on the banks, it was in a floodplain, so you had to fix that, but you basically had a blank canvas between the two stadiums, and it's still only half done. I think most developers would say, back then, what development are you going to get done first? I think most people would probably say, well, your front porch, because it's all open land. The county owns it. And so you don't have to go through all these hoops that you just got to get people in here or ready to. And you would think that
the city actually had to buy the land for Mr. Castellini, I think.
Yes. The county.
Yes. The county.
Correct. Back in the 90s.
But, you know, we do own this, and it's basically they took two different, you know, avenues to do this. The city created 3CDC, private, quasi-private public, you know, development agency to do Over the Rhine, and then we took this bank joint steering committee tack with the banks. And so it was like these two different paths forward.
And actually, Steve Leeper from 3CDC is on the bank steering committee, but...
He was not there on Friday.
He wasn't there on Friday, and honestly... And I haven't talked to Mr. Leeper about it, but I have talked, you know, I've talked to Charlie and Luke, and he says that he feels like really beyond Gableman and Castellini, most people on that board, he's not speaking for anyone except for himself, but the sense I've gotten is that, he said that like most people don't feel like they have, much of a say or a voice. And I think he even said in his quote, like, we don't debate, meaningfully or
in public.
Yeah, in public, he says he doesn't see it as a functioning body. That to me says there's a lot of problems there, and this needs to be looked at.
I mean, this meeting on Friday, I would say the overarching theme, if I was looking for one, it would be Mr. Castellini chastising the city and the county for not getting along on this, and which is really directed at the city for just not going along with the plan as it's been presented without any changes. That, you know, they're just expected to go along, and this council is really standing up to that and concerned about the neighborhoods on the west side and how this is all going to affect them. And I'll tell you what, you know, dozens of people came to City Hall on Monday, and they were wearing T-shirts, no concrete, no asphalt. And,
wow.
And they spoke one after another. And it's basically like the third public hearing where we've heard these same voices, and they're not messing around. They're very, very worried. And council, I think, is listening to them.
Yeah, I know
you're... That was a big sigh.
It's been an exhausting story and process, and it's... is there an end in sight? I guess what I was getting ready to ask you.
You know what? No, there's not. And let's pretend this deal dies. That's still not the end. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. We have some council votes that aren't actually the official council votes. They're these side votes that could possibly kill the deal that's on the table, but they're not actually the deal,
mm-hmm.
which is very complicated. But it's not the actual vote, because
right.
nobody's willing to bring forward what the city needs to vote on, which is a land swap, because they know there's no support for that. So that actually is not coming in. These two side things could kind of put council on the record as not wanting this deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's not the end? Because if this isn't the plan, what is the plan? But, right? Like, we still have to finish developing the riverfront. And so then what's the next thing?
Sure.
Is there a compromise, which we've not seen so far, or is there a whole new plan? What is it? It's not over until the development is done.
And that's great. That's good. But let's say this thing does die, as I think a lot of us believe it's going to, as it is currently right now. No, it should not be. We should not just, okay, well, throw up our hands and whatever's there now is. No, this is an opportunity for our leaders to put their selfish interests or their egos or whatever's going on aside, come together, and we're talking about the politicians and the business leaders, and say, what do we all want? Let's keep the music venue on the table as an option. What do we want? And I think the other big thing too is, do we want the Bengals to stay? Because certainly if you talk about the future of the banks, you have to bring the Bengals into that. What is there? Are they going to be here beyond 2026? Do we want them to be here beyond 2026? I know that's a different podcast, a different conversation. But I think that's also got to be on the table, Sherry.
And I think the bigger picture is going to be very important here because, you know, we're going to start seeing the FCC stadium and the mixed-use development around it come online. The casino is changing hands to be a Hard Rock Casino. Alex, my husband, Coolidge, you know,
has
some new renderings and what that's going to be look like. And they have some big plans. They like concert venue, I'm hearing, and the idea of a Hard Rock Cafe. And so there's going to be some more competition for what these entertainment destinations are. And that's on top of Over the Rhine, which is the premier, entertainment district of this city now. And it's interesting to see where we're going to go with this. And it turns out, you know, last week it was pre-Kroger downtown, but I feel like the Kroger's actually going to become the it spot, judging from social media. Yeah. It went over like gangbusters. And I mean, I went there. I knew every single person in there, I think, the first night.
That's
that
great.
Food hall, I think, is going to be very popular. The bar, rave reviews.
It's great
rave
to see. Reviews. Yeah, it's great. Let's shift gears to something totally fun, something that's awesome for the city. We talked about something that's really divided a lot of people right now, but something that's certainly bringing people together is Blink, which is coming up, as I mentioned, next weekend. And so let's bring in Steve McGowan, co-founder of Blink, to talk about what's going on.
Okay, so now Steve McGowan has arrived. Welcome to That's So Cincinnati podcast.
Yeah, this is cool. Thank you for having
Welcome.
Me.
Welcome.
I feel like, so Steve, as we told you earlier, you know, is one of the Blink founders with Brave Berlin, a team of experimental artists. And I feel like it's all rolled into one, a guest segment and That's So Cincinnati. And I feel like, you know, this city really needs to be so proud that Blink is So Cincinnati, because this is just an absolute amazing event. And so we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah,
like,
I love that.
How that this all came to be.
Yeah. No, I love that you say that it's So Cincinnati, because that's by design. You know, there are a lot of things that come into Cincinnati are either sort of off the truck, like when the All-Star game comes, you know, a lot of people couldn't find their way in, but the city shined, you know, it was beautifully, beautifully lit, the landscaping, it smelled differently, you know? And then we thought, wow, there's an opportunity here for this to be homegrown and do something for our own that will inspire people through art.
Yeah, and your company is based here, so we should say that.
And you're a Cincinnati guy, and this is So Cincinnati in a very, very good way, by the way. Sometimes we'll say things are So Cincinnati in a little bit of a negative way, but certainly we want to make it clear that this is So Cincinnati in a great, awesome way. So this will be the second Blink. Yep. And just give us right off the top here.
We're 8 days out.
We're eight days out.
Yes, we are.
I think we pulled you away from work. Is that right?
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. We need a distraction. Yes.
Can you give us so when someone comes up to you and says, what the heck is Blink?
Yeah.
What's your elevator speech on Blink?
First and foremost, it's an art event. You know, the word festival sneaks in there every once in a while, but that's So Cincinnati kind of festival. usually involves, you know, Geta and
chili,
chili and, you know, and a lot of beer. And those are all great things. And we'll have some of those things. But this is really about focusing on sort of the, this underground renaissance and the bubbling up of our creative community here in Cincinnati and really celebrating, you know, the diversity and the inclusion that we all have and using art as that vehicle to unite, a city. So, we did, we were tired also of like people talking about Cincinnati as like a flyover city, or, you know, we say screw Mark Twain when he said that he wanted to be here, you know, when the, at the end of
later,
days.
Right?
Yeah. And we're like, you know, those are old tapes. And so we said, wow, we are the future city. So let's stake claim to that and then behave like a future city. And so Blink is really sort of informed by a manifesto that we had created called the Future City Manifesto. And what was interesting about 2017 was without really kind of sharing that with the public, we were hearing them and they were experiencing it firsthand. And so when you asked after Blink, you know, what did you think? They were almost reciting the manifesto, which we think was beautiful. So similar to Luminosity, we didn't design Luminosity as a thing. We branded it as a way we wanted people to feel. And they did. They felt luminous. They felt like neighborly, you know. They felt like they belonged and that Cincinnati was a place to welcome everyone. And so that's kind of, you know, the genesis of Luminosity and the genesis of Blink.
So Luminosity started in Washington Park. What was the first year of it?
Oh, my goodness. 2013? Is that
it
about
seems
right?
Like,
and we had there were three years of Luminosity,
yeah.
Which like Brave Berlin and you and your company was a part of founding,
yes,
as well.
Yep.
Art installations on Music Hall with an audience, you know, in Washington Park, and it was a lovely experience.
Well, and no one knew what was coming, and frankly, actually, the Enquirer at one point said we were trying to get a cover story, just like we needed to get the word out, and they were like, unless we have some kind of a visual, no one is understanding sort of what this thing is. And projection mapping at the time is very it's novel in North America. I mean, it's all over the world. You see it in a lot of European countries. But, you know, to projection map, and the art of projection mapping is detailed, you know, mapping onto every aspect of the facade of the architecture. So what was so great about Music Hall was that we could do just that. It's such a beautiful representation of our city. Mm-hmm. And the detail is so amazing. And the people that gave, when people really got the goosebumps was at the very end after Louis, again, that's why we did Luminosity, was to welcome him into our city, that when we made Music Hall take a bow, that they could really see the illusion that projection mapping onto architecture could really, really do. So, yeah, really fun, and people are just blown away by it.
Can you for our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the history of, can you go back and just briefly talk about how Luminosity all came about? Because I think that's, you know, that was the seed for everything that's now grown into Blink that
sure
is going to be lighting the streets of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky.
30 blocks.
Right? Here in a week and a half. Where did that all come from? And that's not something you see much in North America, correct?
Right. Yeah. So it really started with, you know, they say it takes a village, and it really did take a village. And Blink certainly takes more than a village. But it also took an idea from a man named Tim Maloney with the Hale Foundation and his generosity in that foundation. He was at a brainstorming session, and they said, Louis Longray, how do we welcome our new director? And typically, the symphony would have had a black tie affair. Tim hates black tie affairs. I can say that because we're friends. And he thought, wow, we've got this beautiful park that just opened. What if we do, you know, like they do in Europe and create a, let's project onto the building and have an outdoor concert.
Where everyone can come.
Where everyone, yep, is welcome. Yeah. So that was the first idea. And then we thought, well, shoot, how do we brand this in a way that was less about the CSO presenting Louis? It was more about people from Cincinnati welcoming him into our community. And that's where we flipped the script. And that's why I think everyone felt a real ownership in the neighborhood. And people said it was a tipping point for Over the Rhine. And people behaved differently. They were sharing their blankets and they were drinking wine, you know. And it was just this really, really great moment. And the spirit of it, we think, continues to live on through our city and then ultimately through Blink. Blink was funny because we're sitting there with Tim in the third year, and he looks at my business partner, Dan Reynolds, and I, and he says, so what's next? And, you know, he'll do that from time to time.
I mean, we really outgrew the park. It became impossible, yeah, to get tickets. It was the hottest thing in town. Mm-hmm. I mean, word had spread about—
The streetcar was making the projectors rumble, yeah.
That part I never heard, Jason. You?
I never heard that either.
Yeah.
But I won't comment on it.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, what is next? And what we remembered and loved so dearly about Luminosity was the very first year of Luminosity, when it was just this welcome mat to everyone in the city. And people from the suburbs were coming down almost like they'd never been to Cincinnati before, or downtown at least.
Yeah.
And then the great folks that live in over the Rhine all came out, you know, and maybe saw a symphony for the very first time. But they were sharing blankets and sharing wine and having such a great time. And then in year two and year three, because the crowds had become so immense, there were a lot of safety issues that we had to. Yeah. And so the fences went up. And fences are just a barrier, and it just didn't feel the same. So we just we outgrew the park. And then we thought, well, gosh, if we could kind of relive that first year and spread this throughout our whole city. We were also, the streetcar had come online, and we were trying to figure out, they were saying, how do you activate the streetcar? And we're like, you don't activate the streetcar, you activate the city and just let the streetcar be the streetcar. So we started to say, okay, well, how do we activate the streetcar? And navigating Blink is it's tricky. And so we knew we had to sort of break it up by neighborhoods, but Cincinnati is already sort of behaving as four neighborhoods. You'll hear too that we've added a fifth neighborhood, which is in Covington. So we look at that as a neighborhood. But each one of those neighborhoods almost is its own sort of artistic ecosystem. They have the different types of restaurants and, you know, and it's just a different vibe, different buildings and architecture, and different opportunities for us to celebrate. So that was that was kind of the plan on how we could get people to navigate. And it was always about one block of discovery. So keeping them on a path that really isn't intended to be linear, but for people to kind of find their way into it and then explore the city in a way they never had before.
Is that downtown, OTR, West End, and Pendleton? Are those the four neighborhoods?
Nope. It's so if you start north to south, it's Findlay, OTR, Central Business District, the Banks, and now Covington. Did I miss one?
Nope, that's it.
That's five. Yeah. Yep. Now,
you're breaking them up into different types of neighborhoods.
Yeah, we call them neighborhood zones. And that's been fun for people too. So one of the zones, and one of the other partners of Blink is, and it does take a village, is Agar. At the same time, they were talking to Tim Maloney about kind of what was happening in Miami and even in parts of London, Shoreditch. And then there's Wynwood Walls, which is in Miami, which through street art, they were able to sort of revitalize and bring life into maybe a neighborhood that was underserved, you know. So through art, it was going to bring commerce. And so they had a plan to bring these street artists into the Findlay Market area. So Tim was like, let's combine the two. Let's do a mashup and let's make this one big thing. Well, then it took on a life of its own. Then it became 20 city blocks. Then it became and it became and it became. It just got massive, which is amazing because a lot of people rallied around it.
So, I mean, I think one of the most, stunning things, we're starting to see some of the images of what we're going to see, is the idea of bringing it into Covington through the Roebling Bridge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Roebling Wednesday is the thing.
Goosebumps.
We have one of the most beautiful bridges in the world. Mm-hmm. And what are we going to do to it for Blink?
Well, I'll tell you. So we've been fascinated with the Roebling Bridge. And Dan and I, we were walking under, this is several years ago, and, you know, hearing the bridge sing and knowing it really as the singing bridge before I even knew it as the Roebling Bridge. And just how beautiful it is as a piece of architecture, how proud we are of it being the prototype to the Brooklyn Bridge, and just the story of John Roebling. So what we did, we kept looking under the bridge, trying to figure out if there was an audio component that we could do to make the singing bridge sing. And we just sort of, you know, let that simmer for a while. And then when we decided that we were going to bring Covington into the fray, which Blink was always designed to be a regional event. And so this was really exciting for us to do that. And then the symbolism of the bridge is so great about bridging, you know, our two communities together, but also uniting, you know, the world and those kinds of things. So what we did was we made it a project, and we thought if we could bathe the Roebling Bridge with beautiful light, and then create an original score, what would that score sound like, and what would inspire it all? So then we came across this really terrific company out of Boston. They're called Massari, and it's three people, Maria, Ryan, and Sam, and they're artists themselves, and they're experimental artists, and they work in the urban landscape and they create their musicians, their filmmakers, and their projectionists. And so that was cool for Brave Berlin to do a mashup with them. So we partnered with them. We're co-creating what is called Rumble, and it's the Roebling Bridge. And so they came about maybe a month ago, and they took samples from the bridge. They took audio samples of cars going over the bridge. They took samples of playing the bridge, literally, you know, getting sounds from the bridge. Oh, and they were able to get some sound bites from the Cincinnati Boys Choir. And so they were putting all these things together, and that's what they're so brilliant at doing, that they are bringing this bridge to life. They're making her sing. So one of the pieces that is a part of this really musical score is called Johanna's Hymn, and that was Roebling's wife. And so it's a beautiful sort of choral piece of music. So with that musical score, what is great is that the there'll be a 30-minute passive state that the bridge will be lit, but it will just sort of be just more beautifully, you know, lit to the score of music, and then a more active state. So another 30 minutes of that. So that goes back to back. That gives people a time to sort of see the bridge and then ultimately, you know, maybe walk over the bridge or experience it. There's like four or five different ways to experience the bridge. One is from afar, where you'll hear the audio track and you'll see it as a backdrop and sort of coming to life. The other one is to actually walk across the bridge. The third way is that we have partnered with Ogo, and you can't drive. The only vehicular traffic that will be going over the bridge for the 4 days are the Ogos, so you can shuttle back and forth through the Ogo.
Those are the golf carts. Yeah. You heard me say on the show before, I'm a huge proponent of golf carting around downtown.
It's so good.
So, yeah.
It is.
But that's a different way, and it really will immerse you in the light. And then we have these lights to the heavens, and so in that second 30-minute track, it's almost as if the bridge is being played as an instrument. So every light fixture, and Vincent Lighting is doing the lighting for us, and they're the lighting designers and technicians, every light has been assigned a musical note. So every light fixture will respond to a note that is played in this musical score.
And how many,
it's going to blow people away.
How many lights?
Over 800 lights on the whole bridge, yeah. Both sides, and then these massive lights shooting to the heavens. And we're focused on the two pieces, the towers and the anchorage. So
that's going to be just
phenomenal, yeah.
After 2017, did you have other cities reach out to you and be like, we want this too?
We did. None of them really kind of made it happen. I think part of it, it freaked them out. I mean, it's not cheap. But I will say thank you to all of our sponsors, because this is all, it's all due in part to private money, and sponsorship. And so with that, we build Blink, and it's not a cheap show. But if you think about it, like let's say a $4 million show brings in, gosh, $130 million worth of economic impact. So
you mentioned like the idea of like drawing people downtown. That was a big experience for me. Mm-hmm. I forget because, you know, I worked here since 2002 and I'm not afraid to come downtown and, you know, just and walk around. And I want other people to be able to experience that, especially during something like this. But when I was at Blink in 2017, like helping people kind of park on the peripheral, they're like, I've never been downtown before. And people were like, where should I eat? There was like a lot. I mean, the sidewalks were absolutely crowded with an absolute diverse crowd. And just people were pouring in. Like you're up in the Pendleton area and people were looking for places to park while you're kind of looking at the top of the whole installation. And to me, that was a huge takeaway from it.
Yeah.
The draw of it. And, you know, and we heard too afterwards that a lot of people came from out of town.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is really a destination for this weekend that it's going to be?
Especially if I would even share the roster with you of the street artists that Agar is bringing in, the artists that Artworks, they handle all of our, the street-based art. So we do celebrate our local artists big time, but we also invite people from all around the world. And so we are truly becoming a destination for this art form. You know, so people are, and we have a lot of visitors, other cities are coming in to see, you know, what are they drinking over there in Cincinnati, you know, and what's going on.
With the thought of maybe they could do this in their city.
Absolutely, yeah. So we did have other cities reach out to us at some point. We sort of tried to give them a plan. In Europe, the reason it is so, and this is kind of a hint to our local, you know, government. The government pays for those big celebrations, you know, because it is about driving economic impact. So it would be great if at some point, you know, even to get like a 1% tax of the parking that week and or whatever, not to get too political about, but, you know, how do you kind of raise money for something like this and not, you know, rely on the same people giving the same money all the time?
Things when you get to the government level here tend to be difficult because there's more than one, Jason. and so those kind of things are important. And honestly, you know, you hear in City Hall, like I cover City Hall, it's like development's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our council members do support the arts, of course, but 100%. It's not necessarily something you hear every week. Yeah. Here's how we're funding the arts. Here's what we're doing. You know, they go to the mural celebrations, but it tends to be this outside money that's doing things for the arts. And we're, you know, we're lucky to have organizations like that.
Yeah.
Well, how many,
museums, the level of museums that we have.
Oh, 100%. And we're just looking at it too, is like this, we feel like this really fuels our creative culture, you know, and it is part of culture. It's our festival culture is about us coming together as a community. So it's in some other European countries, they value that in a different way. It's not that we don't value it here. They just somehow they figured out how to make it a priority for it to be paid for.
All right. So I heard something in passing about a huge disco ball. Is that right?
That's coming back. Yeah.
Okay.
Disco ball. I don't know if you know this.
I mean, I like a good disco ball.
They're made in Kentucky. So this year we're putting it in Kentucky. It was in Cincinnati the first year, right in the middle of Pleasant Street, which took everyone by surprise. But what was so lovely about that was people just broke in to dance, you know, and that was really great.
What about the installation where you can see yourself on the screen? Is that coming back? There was a long line for that.
Oh, where they were dancing and up on the screen. Yeah. There's something similar. It's a little different. You can actually go. It's on Vine Street. I'm forgetting the name of the installation now, but you can actually go and they have caricature artists who will actually sketch you and your face will be sketched onto a building.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's fun. So all kinds of crazy things. There's a toilet that you can sit on and it does crazy things and blows gas. Just really clever
because,
and fun.
You know, I think this wait a second. The thing that leaped into my head was that my 11-year-old son and your sons would love something like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is very child friendly. There.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's parts of it that are more child friendly than others. Like there was a lot of things at the banks the last time. There was a seesaw.
Those are
and
coming
like
back.
Things.
Yeah.
This is a thing that you do bring your children to. Like
absolutely.
It's not like highfalutin art that you know nobody can touch.
No.
This is for
it's
everyone.
Interactive.
All
it's
ages and cultures, and this is what's awesome.
Where's the toilet going to be?
Is that the
Fountain Square?
Wait,
is that the Fountain Square part?
It's not. That's a whole different. That's going to be insane. That is really fun. That's
what's happening.
A completely immersive area. So Braeberlin, we're working with the innovation team at Fifth Third. So you know, these guys are bankers, right? But they have this really great innovation team that just when they heard about Blink and they looked down from their window, they saw the square and they said, "We've got to do something." And so, very quickly, we got on, you know, started sketching out ideas. And so, their story is around the genus of water, and it's called refraction. And so, basically, we're going to immerse everyone in light, but there'll be parts of it that will be somewhat interactive. And it's the first ever in Blink, and I don't know, maybe even North America, but it's a surface projection. So it's not on a building. It's actually, we're projecting onto the surface of Fountain Square. And then we're incorporating, you know, the genus of water and all of that. So it'll be really, really something to see.
You know, yeah. Fountain Square, I mean, Fifth Third Bank has really done a lot for Fountain Square. You know, they were in the news for something that wasn't, you know, it was the terrible, we had the shooting there. And since then, you know, probably for some safety reasons, they're remaking the square in a way that's, you know, very public friendly. They announced this week that they're doing this a new stage area there. And like, it's changing in a way that's positive for the public. And so I think this is probably a good way to introduce some of that.
They've been great partners and their creativity too. I mean, and they're pushing themselves, but there's a certain responsibility that people are starting to feel to Blink, which is like, wow, what can I do? You know, how can I get involved? And, you know, we believe that everyone is creative and there are some really great ideas out there. So that's been a really fun partnership.
I spent a lot of time the last time, one more thought, at the courthouse
where
there was the Scales of Justice installation. Is that returning or is it something different?
It is
there?
A different artist. And that's the thing. So Blink is completely new and different. Some of the buildings are repeated because they just lend themselves really well to projection mapping. But we've rematched certain artists. Lightbourne, though, is coming back, and they'll do the CAC. They have a really terrific relationship with Raphael and her team there, and it's going to blow you away. It's completely different than 2017. And some of the crowd favorites, you know, sort of will be coming back. But for the most part, we have new buildings. We have new artists that are coming in. 50% of our artists this year are women, which we think is really interesting. And I think it's going to be, and we've already seen, that's what we get to see. It was like Christmas yesterday because all of the files were due for us to give to our tech partner. And so we were able to see the final. We kind of lead everybody, you know, through the process as they're building their animations. But, you know, we have 39 projection mapping locations, which is almost double of what we had in 2017. So we get to see all of their ideas, and then we get to see them brought to life. And I'm telling you, people are just going to lose their mind over this stuff. It's really great.
The thing that bringing Northern Kentucky and Covington in is wonderful. And, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to you talk, this is something for everyone. And, mm-hmm. and there's so many stakeholders and partners and people involved in this. We don't see this happen around. Political and government reporter Sherry and I, we write so much about sort of the back and forth about politics and how that's, you know, people butting heads a lot. And so you can tend to get kind of tied up in seeing a lot of the division. But this is the complete opposite of that. I'm sitting here thinking, you mentioned Fifth Third. You mentioned, I see on your paper, I was just looking on, I see Skyline Chili, Arts Wave, Hale Foundation. I mean, how many different partners have come together here to in your
Hundreds.
Company
and and we're always looking for more, but what it's with purpose. And so that's the other thing that we try to do with our sponsors is, you know, they're like synergy sponsors. We try to figure out a way for them to fit into, you know, Blink is loosely based on a lighting metaphor, you know, and also this idea of that light, we can shine a light on our city, and light helps us to focus on the issues that we need to focus on. We sparkle, mm-hmm. we shine, you know, in the manifesto, when we talk about, you know, all of us, we say that, together we shine with celebration, laughter, and labor shared for all the world to see. And in the blink of an eye, their radiance is undeniable. When you connect people that way and you make people feel like I matter, you get those kind of, you know, you get people sharing their stories, and you say, gosh, have you been over to Covington? Did you see that? Or did you ride the teeter totters?
That was, you'd be waiting in line to see something or do something. And people would say that. And like, that was a very big thing. Like,
it was a kick for me. I got on the streetcar, and I was on there a little bit longer than I should have been, but it looked like a college prank because their faces were pressed up. And I'm like, oh, I got to get off of here, you know, because I've got stuff to see. I got to go. I have to do things. But what I loved was just the dialogue that was happening in the narrative, and people talking about the show itself and how they had never seen. They said, this feels like Cincinnati, or this feels like New York City. And I had to correct them. And I said, no, this feels like Cincinnati.
I've said this before on the podcast. Polly Campbell, our food writer, once said to me, never say that this doesn't feel like Cincinnati, because it is Cincinnati.
It is Cincinnati. Yep, 100%.
We take a backseat to no one.
So what do you think, Jason? Should we bring Steve in to mediate between the city and the county?
I think we should.
On the Banks Project? It seems like
I wouldn't even know what to wear.
Wear what you're wearing now. You're fine.
I do have a couple tips.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know what?
That's what I was going to ask you about some of the basic logistics and things like that.
I think the main thing, though, is not to drive. They're urging people not to be driving downtown during it, right? So that's a big thing right now.
We wrote this little thing like how to blink, and we did it because we know there are going to be a ton of people here. And we want the same sound bites as last year, zero police incidents. And we want people to everybody had a really great story about Blink, but they'd say, well, if they just would figure out the traffic situation. So you're going to hear more about all of that and street closures and all that. But number one was don't blink and drive. The spectacle is designed as a walking tour. So you can park in the outskirts. We have partnerships with Uber and Lyft and things like that. Take public transportation if you can. Get your buddies together and get a limo or a van or whatever, or one of those old school buses, and just kind of come down and enjoy yourself. So that is one. The other one is to plan your visit. So plan multiple days. You can't see it all in one day. And make sure you get to Kentucky, and make sure you cross that bridge and you come into Ohio, or vice versa. And see what all the many neighborhoods have to offer. The Future City Spectacular Parade, our friend Jean-Robert Descaval is the he's going to be leading the parade. And it's just pure fun and creativity.
That's on Thursday night.
That's Thursday night.
What time does that start?
That kicks off the parade. I think we're saying 7:30 when it gets good and dark, but between like 7:15 and 7:30. That's the thing about Blink is that it's a, you know, we have opened up some daytime programming, but when we went to other cities to see what they were doing, that's what we would do. We would go to the museums or we would go to the great, you know, restaurants and see what they had to offer. And then, because when the sun goes down, you know, the lights go up and the party starts. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to come down and have a plan as far as, it's like going to the theater, right? You get your dinner, you know, before 8 o'clock, you know, get your reservations. And then, because you don't want to be inside when it's dark outside.
So, I mean, absolutely. This is 100%. I'm going to take the opportunity to give the Inquirer some shout out here. This is it. Get the app. You have to download it. We're going to have all that information right at your fingertips. And of course, it is all online and you'll be able to find that. And the Inquirer is going to tell you how to go to the actual websites too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're going to be on the ground. I mean, our photographers are second. I mean, they're the best there are. There's no one that's better than them. And I'm excited to see the kind of things they turn out. Yeah. And so you're going to be able to navigate everything. We're going to help you do that with our app, and you're going to be able to see their work too. And I think that's the kind of thing you're going to see what they took, and then you're going to be like, I want to go see that.
Yeah.
And so,
also, what's the Blink website to for people to go to see where everything's
BlinkCincinnati.com. Yeah. And that was number three, get connected. So the app is the one thing that will get you connected, and you cannot take a bad picture at Blink. You just can't. The lights are beautiful. And really special moments and things that you can do. And, you know, document your stories and share them with the world. The other one is, number four was Dress for Success. It's like, get your, you know, blink yourself out, you know, glow, flash through lighting.
I thought you were going to say wear comfortable shoes.
Flash people, but flash through lighting, yes.
Oh, no, go buy those shoes that that light up. Yeah, it's cool. And then finally, we'd say take pause because, you know, as Cincinnatians, we forget, you know, it's rare that we even look up at the architecture that we have in our city. Mm-hmm. We just sort of get into this sort of grind. But during Blink, just be proud of where you are from because we are hosting something very special for the world. And so just take pause with your family and your friends and be like, breathe it in. Say, wow, this is our city and we're doing this. And that's really kind of what it's all about.
And basic things, it's no cost to people coming there.
It's free and open to the public.
There
are a few things. There's Architects of Air, which I think has a nominal fee. Mm-hmm. There is a VIP package this year that is new, and it's really a convenience package. And you get all kinds of bling. You know, you get all kinds of you get limited edition posters, collectibles, and things like that. So that's where sort of the money comes in. But it also, in every neighborhood zone, there is a VIP area that you can get some cheaper refreshments. You can get better, you know, sort of restaurants, accommodations, no wait lane, you know, lines
bathrooms,
for beer.
Right? Bathrooms. I think I saw that as part of the thing.
Yeah. And it also goes, the money goes back into, if you want to say how can I help? You know, that money does, all the proceeds go back into Blink.
Real quick too. It starts a week from tomorrow on Thursday. At about 7, the parade starts, kicks it off with Jean-Robert as the marshal.
Yep.
And it goes through
Sunday. So, through the 13th. So, and that will be, there's a lot of daytime programming on Sunday as well. Second City on Main they'll be active all day. There's one of the LGBTQ tea dances that are happening down at the Freedom Center. We're bringing in a 75-foot rainbow bridge that's going to be on Smale Park.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
Been in New York City, I think.
We found it at Burning Man and at Art Basel. So really cool things happening there. But you're right, Sunday's going to be a really big day. But it goes in well into the night till 11 o'clock.
So October 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, Blink. Folks, come downtown. Stay in town if you live in the city.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful, wonderful thing that is happening in our city. And so many different partners and the folks who come out for it, make it. And make this whole thing great. And
the Chamber,
and
you certainly
do as well, Steve.
They create this thing. They make it look easy. They really do. And there's so much hard work. Actually, you know what? Forgive me. Blink has already started because there are people here that are already painting murals. So
yep.
come down and get them a bottle of water and find out about where they come from and what all of that. So it's magic.
BlinkCincinnati.com.
Yep.
For all the details. Steve, this was awesome. Thank you so much for what you've done for the city and what you're doing for the city. And we'll look forward to seeing you out at Blink and looking forward to seeing Blink. So thank you.
Yeah, let's do a post-interview, man. Talk about all the crazy stuff that went on.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again to Steve for coming in. Looking forward to Blink. Sherry, again, if you haven't seen it, obviously you've only had it one time. This is one of those things where we don't know how long it'll last. And so it's something to behold and see. And so I would encourage people to come downtown, enjoy downtown, take it all in, and you come together with so many different people, and it's just such a neat event. Switching gears.
I already sent Alex a text about where we want to eat so that we can make dinner reservations.
Where are you guys going
to
eat?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out, but it's you have to think about that now, I think.
Jeff Ruby's is always a good choice. Anyway.
Absolutely. All right, that's it. Done.
Shameless plug for Jeff Ruby's. The best steakhouse in the world, by the way. Let's shift to our
So Cincinnati
moment of the week. And I'll tell you, I know this is going to shock a lot of people, but our
So Cincinnati
moment of the week is Marty B. Marty Brenneman. We had him on 8 episodes ago. If you did not hear that or listen, jump back to it. Sherry, you're going to provide that for us. So our more in depth on our So Cincinnati moment of the week. You were at his final game.
You know what? I did. I haven't been to a day game yet this year. It was a beautiful afternoon. After hearing him talk on the podcast about his special moments and what he would have been thinking, I was like, I kind of wanted to go. I mean, not really listen, right? Because you had to listen on the radio. But, you know, the Reds, they did this right. And so did he, honestly, by all accounts. The giveaway was a little transistor radio. It was adorable.
Yeah, that's neat.
So people could listen to it, really.
Did you get one?
I didn't. I was a little late, but I saw everybody with them.
Yeah.
And they, because I was in the newsroom, by the way, but they, so people could listen to it in the last inning, and he was in the booth, and he didn't go down, by all accounts, like the memory lane. He called the game like he calls every other game, and we were all, it was palpable in the stands, the idea that you just wanted to win this game because you wanted him to hear his famous line, which he said for us.
You did. And that one, and this one, and that one. You point to me on cue and I'm not ready. And okay. This one belongs to the Reds. He said it right here. Again, go back 8 episodes. If you did not hear that episode, so many people listen to it. It is our second most listened episode ever in the year plus we've been doing this. But go back, and he finished.
It was a proper send-off. He came down on the field for a little ceremony.
Yeah.
It was just, he really did it right. And you know what? The stadium wasn't full, and I was kind of surprised. But then I kept hearing stories, you know, in the couple days afterwards about how people stayed home to listen to him. And that was kind of a thing, that they wanted to listen to it in the privacy of their home and enjoy this last one because they've just grown up, you know, with his voice. And so, there's a hashtag even, thanks, Marty.
Yeah. I'll tell you, wow. That was, he talked about, before he signed off, he talked about how much he loved people and just said, I want you to know that you are appreciated and that's all I got. And it was great. I have goosebumps sitting here thinking about it. We will miss you, Marty. I know millions of people are saying that. Count the two of us among the masses who are saying that. You got anything else for Sherry? Anything else fun? You always have fun stuff going on.
I know, in all honesty, covering all of what's going on with the city and the county, I was really tired this weekend, and I'm not like a big stay-at-home person, but I needed to catch up on my sleep, and I did that this weekend.
But I did
go to the game, though, so I don't know. I started my weekend early, I think.
That's what I should have done instead of wasting my time going to the Bearcats-Marshall game in Huntington, West Virginia, where the Bearcats
absolutely crushed my herd.
I feel like most of our listeners are glad about that.
Probably. I was there with a very big Bearcats fan, and the cool thing about it is seeing fans tailgate together. Marshall and UC fans are awesome, and unlike fans of some other schools that we will not mention here on this podcast, because we do not want to upset anyone. And Phil is laughing, and I think he wants us to end this thing. Let's folks, check out our app. Download our app, Cincinnati.com app.
For more than even Blink, honestly, yes. Like, it's a good way. You can at a glance, you can see everything and click down through the news of the day.
It's a very user-friendly app. You can swipe right through and either scroll down or even swipe right and see different stories and columns, so...
At the end of the day, so I tend to be in my City Hall bubble and just paying attention to the news of the moment that's right in front of me. So I look at our app all day and I read all our stories. But, you know, how I use a news app is, you know, three stories at the end of the day of the various apps that I like. I pick the three things as kind of the last thing before I go to bed at night and just catch up on the news. And so it's three things per app. And it's a good way to do it.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you. Thanks again for listening. Let us know. We'd love to hear your feedback. My email is jwilliams@inquirer.com. Sherry's email is scoolidge@inquirer.com. Find Sherry on Twitter @SharonCoolidge. Find me on Twitter @jwilliamscincy, C-I-N-C-Y.
It's like you were planning the podcast when you got your Twitter account.
I guess I was. jwilliamscincy, with a Y, and, love to hear your feedback, good, bad, indifferent. Let us know what you think. You want to recommend any guests, any news stories you see that you'd like for us to talk more about or look more into? Let us know. That's what this podcast is for. It's about you, and it's about hearing from you and allowing you to have your say in what we're talking about. So hit us up, and we will catch you next week.